This is getting big now, and we're only at the start of the third chapter of Mark's account of the Gospel. Great crowds are following Jesus already, and the names of towns and regions is impressive. What a list. Jesus is aware of what's happening. He asks the disciples to have a boat at the ready in case it gets dangerously crowded or potentially crushes anyone. Even the unclean spirits, those who would rather there were no such person as a good one, a preacher of good news, a healer of bodies and minds, even they are crying out and identifying Jesus as the Son of God. But for Jesus, there is the proclamation of good news by those who have heard and welcomed that gospel, and such proclamation is welcome. Such advertising, shall we call it, is acceptable. Not the kind that comes from those unclean spirits. Yes, there is such a thing as bad publicity. Or let us say there are those you would rather choose to make your viewpoint known, and there are others you would rather kept away from the discussion altogether. It's getting big. And in the next few verses, after the passage of Mark we're looking at now, Jesus will have made his mind up that it's not a solo work he has undertaken. No, he chooses no fewer than 12 others who will be with him and in time will be sent out to proclaim the same message. When I try to imagine the scene of this gospel passage with so many people who ought to be in their sick beds or in nursing homes, struggling, limping, heaving their way to the lakeside to see Jesus, no, more than see Jesus, to touch him and thus be rid of their ailment. When I try to paint this scene, there are emotions and there are images coming to my mind. One is certainly an image of excitement, of joyful rejoicing on the part of those who find themselves well again after an encounter with Jesus. There is a sense that they are changed, changed utterly perhaps. But there's also the scene of mayhem, of a motley crowd who will surely not become silent any time soon. There's no chance today that they will listen to a parable or a lesson for the day. No, today will not be for speaking. It's a day when wordless meetings and healings take place. What about us? Yes, there are also days like that for you and me, for disciples and for those who inquire about Jesus and his disciples. There are religious experiences people have, once at least, where no words enter in, and if they did, they would be found inadequate to describe what was taking place. There are experiences people have in their search for God, for meaning, for life, for hope, experiences that are silent, are just so massive that no words could be heard or understood above the fireworks of healing and new hope. We tend to hear the report of an explosion a couple of seconds after the event. For us, it is a couple of thousand years later, but the impact is still potentially life-changing, joyful, and filled with prospects of the future with Jesus. Yes, there are days when the silent, prayerful, contemplative side of Jesus, the Master, is not on display, but rather its wealth, the joy engendered by silent prayer, is shared with a multitude that makes the story of the multiplication of bread and fish look by comparison like a small party for neighbours. We want Jesus to say, "Come here, be with me, and make my name and my message known." Only those mysterious unclean spirits were told not to tell or speak of him. It would be terrible for any disciple to belong to that band and to be warned off by any authority, warned off mentioning the name of Jesus. His name, his work for our salvation is our hope, we want to make it known. It's his name and his message that speak most clearly to me of God, and of the link between God and me, and us.